In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Let's lift our hands and bless His name. Father, we give You praise. Lift your hands everywhere. Let's give Him praise. Jesus, when You draw us to Yourself, You draw us to bless us. You are not a politician. You are not a greedy person. You are God. And every time You draw us to Your presence, it is because You desire to change our lives. We have declared that we will make that move. Lord, we pray for understanding. Cry unto God and say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. The Bible says the entrance of Thy word giveth light and even understanding to the simple. Shabra toka sobrati shibabadaba. Sibato kapanda kros palababato sobrati. Lord, we believe You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understanding is a spirit. Isaiah 11 is one of the manifestation, the sevenfold manifestations of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, and open he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. I'd like you to pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, impart upon me the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. Are you praying? The spirit of understanding. Kaba toka soda balada. Impart upon me the spirit of understanding. Hallelujah. One more prayer point and then we sit down. We're taking a series on faith. I consider this to be a very important series. God is going to be opening our eyes, showing us why things may not be working and what the key will be. I'd like you to pray and say, Father, the missing link in my life, as far as the manifestation of faith is concerned, in this series, open my eyes. Lift your voice and pray. Don't be casual. Pray Koinonia. The missing link. The missing link. I admit I may be doing something inaccurately. Show me. Show me. Sabara toka paradada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you and good evening. Please sit down. We have a lot to do tonight. We're beginning a series on faith. We're beginning a series on faith, and I really want us to pay attention and trust the Lord to bless us. Praise the Lord. The series will last all through the month, and the goal of this course is to help us understand. For some of us, for the first time, you'll be realizing how faith truly works. And then for many of us, it will be a reaffirmation and an upgrade on our understanding of faith. Hallelujah. It's important once and again that we remind ourselves of these principles upon which results are produced in the kingdom. He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although ye already know them and are established in this present truth. There are basically three aspects. Let's put the course contents. Just put it down quickly. Just three of them. Number one, we're going to be looking at the character of the Word of God / discerning the will of God. The character of the Word of God / discerning the will of God. That's what we'll be looking at today. And then next week we are going to be looking at the dynamics of faith. The dynamics of faith. We are going to be looking at the inner workings, how it really works. And then finally, sustainable faith. Sustainable faith. Faith that can take you from prophecy to manifestation. Part of the things we're going to be explaining are what I call faith boosters. The keys that keep your faith alive and powerful. We're going to be considering certain mysteries like the power of your seed in keeping your faith alive. The power of praise. The power of thanksgiving. The power of partnership. Bible says if any two shall agree together as touching anything. So it's going to be an interesting series. Let's go straight to the business of the night. Why faith? Why do we need faith in our lives? The Bible clearly tells us how that our walk is a faith walk from Genesis right to Revelation. We see that all those who were able to command results in their generation did so by faith. We are going to Hebrews shortly. But before that, I want us to look at two scriptures. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Why faith? Why do we need to talk on the subject of faith? Can you help us, media? That is possible. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The B part is my verse of emphasis, and let's work with King James. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Read on the B part. One to read. But the just shall live by his faith. So the subject of faith is not just a subject of prosperity or breakthrough. That you're living both in terms of the continuity of your breath and the quality of your life according to scripture. Four times, interestingly, in the Bible, four times the Bible emphasizes that the just shall live by his faith. We'll just look at two scriptures. This is one, Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, but the just shall live by, in fact, it didn't just say faith, he said his faith. His faith. So we see that faith is necessary for both living and living victoriously. You may want to write that down. Faith is necessary for both living and living victoriously. You cannot live a victorious life in this kingdom outside of the operation of faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. There are four, but we'll just look at one for the sake of time. Let's do that quickly, please. Hebrews 10:38. Just the A part. It says, now the just. When will the just live by faith? When will he live by faith? It says, now the just shall live by faith. Then it says, but if any man draw back, back to what? Back from this principle of living. It says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. A very classical rendition of this was given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to read it further when we read verse 6. The Bible tells us, just give us verse 6, but we'll later on start verse 1. Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 6. Please, help us. I like you to read it. It's projected. One to read. But without faith. Stop. That's what I want you to see. It was buttressing on Hebrews 10:38. That if any man draws back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. So it says, but without faith. That means outside of faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. So we see that the entire life of a believer revolves around faith. Now, many of us have had this teaching faith. We've had pastors. Some of us have taught it ourselves. But I think it's very important for us to settle down and really understand what faith is and how it works. We call all kinds of people men of faith. This person is a man of faith. What exactly is faith and how does it work? Seeing that the quality of our lives on earth is dependent on our understanding. Now listen, please, not our application of faith alone, but our understanding of the same. You can apply something wrongly, dissipate so much energy, but it does not mean you are producing results. How many of you have seen cars that the exhaust has busted and, I mean, you hear the car coming so loud like a truck. You think it's a truck running without brake and then you see a little bike or a little car. That's how many people's destinies are. There's a lot of noise. And then when you look, you find out that there's absolutely nothing. But there are cars that would even come and park, you would not even know. That's cars that came intentionally. I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way to better days. Prophesy to yourself. Yes, I'm on my way to better days. No matter what I see around me now, I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way. On my way. On my way. To better days. I'm on my way. Hallelujah. So why faith? Hebrews chapter 11. It'll be a long reading. It's an archive of men and women who demonstrated unto us the reality of faith. Let's read it. Please pay attention. We're studying the Word of God tonight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, he says, for by it the elders obtained what? A good report. Next verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now watch this. The Bible starts. We see certain formations happening. The Bible gives us a character of faith. Then we see certain people mentioned called elders. Are we together? Then we see a formation that faith is able to form realities. And then we see the word of God coming into the picture. Now, I want you to study how these realities begin to piece themselves. Faith, substance, evidence, report or results. Are we together? Understanding the word of God. You see these things piecing up together. Then the Bible says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. Let's see how far we can go. Now, the first character in the Bible calls them elders. Interestingly, the first elder in the Bible is called who? Not Adam. Not Cain. This is a teaching on its own. I'm telling you, I like enjoying myself when I talk about these things. Believe you me, I plan to do same this night. By faith, Abel did what? Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by faith than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So by faith, a man offered unto God a what? More excellent sacrifice. Is it not interesting that the first thing God uses to describe faith is giving? We are going to lions, but the Bible talks of offering a more excellent sacrifice. It takes faith to be a giver. Cain gave, but he was a miser. And God said the reason why he missed was he did not have faith. Are we together? It was out of faith that Abel took sacrifice as though that was all he had and gave unto God. Meaning greed. Listen, selfishness of all sorts is traceable to what? Lack of faith. That at any point in a man's life, he is a withholder and not a giver. I don't mean money, a giver of anything. It is because of fear of the continuity of the supply. And the Bible says it's lack of faith. Number two, five. By faith, the second elder we see in the Bible is who? Now, Enoch was the seventh man from creation, theologically speaking. Enoch was the seventh man from creation. And then from Abel, he just jumps to Enoch and says, by faith, Enoch was what? Translated. Kabarato Sataya. By faith, a man can leave a level to another. By faith. I know this is talking of translation out of this realm, but you need to understand what this meant. Enoch translated from one territory to another by faith, like a man can leave poverty to wealth, like a man can leave sickness. It says if you want to experience translation, it will happen how? By faith. That he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony. Notice how pleasing God is tied to faith. It seems like God's obsession is not just praise and worship. God's obsession is that he can find men who have faith in him. Every time you see the manifestation of faith, you see God smiling. The Bible gives you a picture that he's happy. He's well pleased. Number three. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. The word is there means he exists. He exists. And then that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hear what the Bible says. For everyone that seeketh, findeth. It's important we get this foundation. Seven. Let's see how far we'll go. By faith, Noah comes in now. Noah, Kalabakotaya, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. When God was warning Noah, there was no evidence that those things were coming. The same way God is saying you will prosper and there is no evidence. But Noah moved in advance. He didn't wait to say, let me see a cloud first. He started building the ark when the sun was shining bright and Bible calls it faith. Now, I hope you, those who did mathematics, everybody did mathematics, whether you like it or not. I'm not asking you whether you passed. I'm saying you did it. Are we together? Now listen, a good teacher does not give two examples and set exams. No. When they give you, especially a difficult aspect of mathematics, they give you as many examples. And those examples have variations of the way the underlying principles are applied. Is that true? Uh-huh. It's supposed to help you familiarize you with the different ways. This is what the Bible is doing. We're working maths here. Are we together? So the Bible begins to give you different people. Do you know everything the Bible is saying about them is the same? He's only using different human examples to show you different applications, how men maneuvered circumstances by faith. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. The word fear there is reverence. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. 100 years it took Noah to build an ark. How many years have you waited for your miracle? Let me hear it, please. 6 months. And you're already saying, Lord, if by November, a man moved by faith for 100 years, how long do you have to live on earth to spend 100 years building an ark? I'm sure the children, when they gave birth to their children, they say, we grew up seeing our grandfather, what exactly is this project? And Noah said, the rain will come. And the children said, well, I'm now a teenager. I believe the rain will come. And God kept watching and says, it was by faith. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to break down faith for you to really understand. And then you will know that many people really do not believe in God. Many of you at the end of this teaching, you will tell God, I'm sorry. Because you will find out that you really should not receive a result. Amen. Next verse. By faith. Now Abraham comes in. I like the Bible. How many people now? Abel, help me. Enoch, Noah, Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place, that means your destiny must be fulfilled by faith. God called a man. Are you seeing now? So we see by faith to do different things. Translation. Now we are seeing he's talking about destiny here and inheritance. By faith, you are not the first person to graduate and wonder what to do with your life. There was a man in the awe of the Chaldeans, called Abraham. And the Bible says, when he was called to go out to a place which he should, after receive an inheritance, obeyed. It says, and he went out. Help me please. That's the faith part of it. Not knowing whither he went. Go to Lagos. Yes, Lord. What are you doing in Lagos? Obeying God. You are stupid. God, what do you say? You are a man of faith. Abraham. Don't turn there. Genesis 12. Come out of your father's house and out of your kindred and out of all of this. Listen. To a land that I will show you. No name. The assignment is follow me. And the Bible says Abraham gathered his house and says, gentlemen, we are off. Let's go. May you surround people in your life who can let you obey God. There are times, let me just say this in advance. There are times certain people will love you too much to allow you obey God. Especially for we young people, because our parents, many of them, even those who were not born again, walked by faith. Are we together? The last time their father saw them was form one. They used to call it form one. The next time the person came, he came with the lady he would marry, a master's holder. How he survived, the father did not know. One heavy box and a blessing. Don't drink, don't follow women, be hardworking. The God that kept me, keep you. Enter a boat and go. And the father had confidence that the boy would not die. After 8 years, he now came back and said, Daddy, God is faithful. I now have a house, a car. How did it happen? By faith. But now, you see someone of 30, they say, I think you should start settling. I say, hey, mommy, I'll take it gently. Just buy me blankets, buy me sugar, buy me tea. Don't laugh. We have been so pampered that the system of faith is eroding our minds. So whenever we say faith, many people just laugh. That's the reason why there are very few people who really do much. I'm not even talking ministry in the kingdom, in our lives. This over pampering. Are we together now? Auxiliary faith. Okay, uncle, I'll take the first step, but make sure you are standing by. Look at what he told Peter. He said, fear not, Jesus speaking, it is I. And Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come. Jesus said, come. Faith. Faith. Let's read to verse 10. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose builder and maker is who? The Lord. Next verse. Through faith, the first woman now, also an elder. The first woman. Through faith, Sarah herself received what? So how do men receive strength in the kingdom? You don't receive strength in the kingdom just by eating a good meal. Although that is important. She received strength and conceived seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. Now notice that among all these people, the common denominator is that they did or said something. Are we together? There was nobody whose testimony was just passive. The Bible tells us something they did, something they said. Something they did, something they said. Let me say this up front. Faith is not hearing what God has said. Faith is fulfilling your own part. Your own part. Let's go to verse 17. I want to jump. Verse 17. Are we together? By faith, Abraham now, when he was tested, did what? Or tried. Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Sacrifice by faith. Sacrifice by faith. Now the Bible talks of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Let's go to 23 and look at Moses. The Bible dwells for, I don't know why, but it seems to me like Moses was the person the Bible dwelt so much in. All of the people who the Bible talked about faith, even Abraham, who we call to be the father of faith, the Bible just spoke about him. But for Moses, the Bible seemed to dwell and talk a lot about Moses, which I found interesting. Let's read on. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was he 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's command. You understand the act of faith. They put him in a basket and pushed him to the Nile, trusting God to take care of him. Next verse. Then by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called what? Refused to be called by faith. Just like you refuse to be called any name that seems derogatory, any name that comes from a background that can destroy you. Oh, you are all the poor ones. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said by faith, seeing something, he refused. Choosing rather, think about this, to suffer affliction. Listen, there are certain kinds of afflictions that the Bible says you must go through them by faith. It's a choice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a lady refuses to say yes to an unbeliever, and instead of marrying 2 years before that time, now remains single because she refused to say yes to an unbeliever by faith, waiting for a godly man she believes to be her husband. The Bible calls it to suffer affliction. Not every act of faith looks pleasant in the process. In fact, let me tell you something. A major part of the journey of faith will make you look stupid because you are forfeiting, we call it in economics, opportunity cost. You forgo something for the excellency of what is waiting for you. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for what? A season. 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, and so on and so forth. And let me look for somewhere now. I mean, the Bible talks about him right. Well, let's read. Let's read down to 30, where it goes to Joshua now. We're reading down to 30. You see how much a lot was talked about Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. 28, we're reading down to 30. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed, the destroyer now, the firstborn should touch them. 29. This is the last of the talk about Moses. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do. The Egyptians tried it, but they didn't do it by faith, so they died. Are you seeing now? Now let's talk of the wall of Jericho. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho did what? Not by strength. By faith, we saw them going round, walking round Jericho. Are you understanding the character of faith already? Every one of these people did something. Whoever tells you faith happens without your commitment lied to you. I'm showing you all through. The common denominator to all these things is that they believed God, and there was a demand on their own part to respond by saying, by doing, by keeping their own part. So their obedience upgraded the promises of God to a covenant. The walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Read 31. By faith, the second woman. Look at the name the Bible calls her. Now, this is interesting. Why didn't it just say by faith, Rahab? I think we are smart enough to know. Then it says, by faith, Kalabakata, a woman who was a harlot changed her story. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Meaning she was part of them. She was destined to perish. Please, is that true? What is the wages of sin? Help me. What is the wages of sin? That means there is a system in God where men can change prophecy. There is a system in God where men can alter obvious consequences. The key is faith. It first tells you her credentials. She was a harlot. Do you know what it means to earn a right to stay on a wall so that whoever is passing sees you before even seeing the king? By faith, she changed her report. Everyone died in Jericho except Rahab. Not only did she not die, she forced herself into the genealogy of Jesus. When she had received the spies with peace. And what more can I say? I really wonder. What more do you need to hear? You see, I'm understanding what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if by now you don't see the synergy, what more can I say? He says, for time would do what? To fail me, to talk of others. There were other elders in the Bible. Let's name them. Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. There were many. Next verse. Who did what? Through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Next verse. Quench the violence of fire. Look at that. I wonder why Nigerian actors have never acted a film this powerful. Men who did this by faith. Produce a film and call it by faith. Exploits in the spirit. They escaped the edge of the sword. Men who looked at death eyeball to eyeball and said, you will not kill me. And then the Bible now says, out of weakness were made what? Men who were born weak but refused that they will not die weak. wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Then listen to this. Women receive their dead raised back to life. And then the Bible quickly puts a very strange balance. It says, and others were tortured, not accepting. That means they did not die out of the power of death conquering them. The Bible says they rejected deliverance willingly. They discovered in their knowledge of God that to die is gain. And they said, I can live, but let me prove to God how much I trust him. And they said, it is within my power to command deliverance, but I reject it. Faith. It didn't say they died out of weakness. Please don't confuse this. They died. They had. Do you know there are many people today who died? When we get to heaven, they will tell you they were offered an opportunity to live, but they saw something higher and they said, let's go. The Bible calls it faith. Now you mourn them and try to look for hilarious stories, but they have joined those elders. It's a list. It's a roll call. There are many people shortlisting themselves there. It says not accepting deliverance, that they may do what? Obtain a better resurrection. I'm going somewhere with all this, and you will soon see. Next verse. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. You are not the first to be laughed at. Are we together? Yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder. Now you don't like this. Koinonia is quiet. But the Bible tells you beforehand that these men had the power. They were not helpless. Bible history makes it look like they were helpless. The Bible says they had the power to command deliverance. But they saw something higher. And by faith they stood. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world, there are such men that the world was not worthy of. They walked upon the earth. Have you been given something that you say is a privilege? There are men who, they are walking upon the earth, is a blessing to the earth. The Bible says it's a privilege. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. 39. I want you to read 39 and the next verse, I believe verse 40. Am I right? Yes, 39 and 40. Read it with all your heart and your spirit. Ready? One to read. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not what? Now read on. Next verse. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us, there is a dimension of the manifestation of faith that God is trusting our generation to reveal. And the Bible calls it the perfection of all these elders. As great as their exploits are and were, the Bible says that God had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, theologically speaking, there's been two schools of thought just explaining this scripture. A lot of people mean this to be the dispensation of grace, because you would notice that all the people who were communicated were largely Old Testament people. Are we together now? And so the better promises that many people think, they say that it is because these people suffered in the dispensation of the law, the Old Testament, and now we have access to grace, the substitutionary work of Christ. Now that is true, but I don't believe that is all. Are we together? That is true, but the death of Christ in itself afforded us a higher platform to manifest faith. Are we together? An example of such opportunities is the possibility to live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, this was a possibility they did not experience. but that a man can tap into a higher frequency of faith called the faith of the Son of God. Not just your faith, the faith of the Son of God. You can bring God's faith to an operation and get results. This is a better promise. But that's not what we are talking about. I'm showing you men who did strange things through faith. And so if you and I must make impact in our generation, it will have to be how? By faith, through faith, by faith, through faith. So how are you going to build that house? How are you going to change the story of your family? By faith. How are you going to get out of that sickness and infirmity? Please understand what I'm saying. There is the chronicles of ordinary men who dared to believe God and changed a lot of things. So faith is important to please God. And we have a testament of men and women who walked by faith. The next thing I want us to look at is the Word of God. Let's look at the Word of God. Being that this is the instrument that produces faith, it is important for us to look at the character, and I'll be very brief, the character of the Word of God. Write this down, please. The Word of God, whether spoken or written, the Word of God, whether spoken or written, contains the life of God. The Word of God, whether spoken or written, contains the life of God. The Word of God, whether written or spoken, contains the life of God. Number two, write it. The Word of God is a representation of His commitment to man. The Word of God is a representation. I want you to write this. We're looking at the character. A representation of His commitment to man. Like you have a covenant, like you have a contract between two people. So the testament of His commitment to man. Number three. The Word of God represents His will for man. Now this is important. We are going to dwell a little here. The Word of God represents His will. Comes from the Greek word logos, where we get the word logos. The thoughts of a man, the will of a man, the intention of a man. So the Word of God represents His intention, His will. His will. It's a legal term, His will for man. Number four, the Word of God is the basis for contact with man. The Word of God is the basis for contact with man. I'm giving you certain characters of the Word of God as far as the manifestation of faith is concerned. The Word of God is the basis for contact with man. That means that the Holy Spirit remains helpless until the Word of God creates the platform for contact with man. Number five, the Word of God is the only instrument capable of moving God to action. The Word of God is the only instrument capable of moving God to action. God is moved with the feelings of our infirmities, but not to action. The Word of God is the only instrument capable of moving God to action. Write this down. The Word of God contains instructions, prophecies, promises. The word of God contains instructions, prophecies, promises. Also contains principles. Are we getting blessed? Now please look up, everyone. Please look up. Now, there's been a lot of argument in the body of Christ as to whether this should be called the word of God. The word Bible comes from the word Biblios, and that just means a book. Nothing special, really. It just means a book. Are we together? Now, theologically speaking, for many years in the church age, they did not have a compendium of 66 books like this. There are other schools of thought that argue how that there are many chapters and verses that are missing in the Bible. There are many chapters and verses that were added that should not have been in the Bible. Are we together now? And how that there are other books of the Bible. Like there are arguments about the apocryphal books, the Apocrypha. The Roman Catholics use that a lot. And then there are other books, the books of Jasher. There are other books called the Annals of the Kings. There is the Book of Enoch. Are we together now? Now, all these books together have been argued by theologians. Some of them believe that it should be contained, since the character of Scripture is that all Scripture was inspired of God. Are we together? And that anything that is of God should give spirit and life. So I'm just giving you an educational background on this so that you will understand. So there has been a lot of argument. In fact, currently, I know that there was a time certain, rabbinical association also came up with certain things, and they felt that a lot should be edited in Scripture. Now the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Say Hebrew. And the New Testament was written largely in Greek and Aramaic. Are we together? Now, these people wrote these scriptures, but they were not in charge of its translation. There's no point to give you the whole story of Bible history, how that this translation were in bits and pieces. Some of these pages were missing for many years, and then they were found together with what we call the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then it was at the time of King James. King James, he was a real king, ancient king called King James, not ancient like modern history now, King James, who authorized the publication of a compendium of these 66 books that we call the Bible. Are we together now? So all the 66 books, Old and New Testament together, are called. Now, the point of all of this is not to create a debate about other extra-biblical texts or some exaggerations that were done here. That's not the idea. One thing we know for sure is this. Listen. Every man who contributed in the writing of this was imperfect as a person. That means if God allowed them to still rob their imperfection, it means the mystery is not in the letters. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Please, you must understand what I'm teaching you. We're examining faith. Elijah was a temperous man. The Bible is a compendium of many things. Demons spoke in this Bible. Is that true? Donkeys spoke in this Bible. Are we together? Men spoke in this Bible. People lied in this Bible. People used divination in this Bible. So the fact that it is written here does not automatically mean it is of God. You have to get this. So when the Bible, or when we talk about the Word of God, we are not talking about just the opening of anything. Because you see, we must balance this. There are believers who say, if you can show me in the Bible, I will do it. That means you are going to get into error. The Bible is a prophetic book. You can make it preach anything you want. There are herbalists today, when you enter their shrine, you see other books. And you see a very clean Bible there. Are we together? And they will read a scripture and instruct you based on that scripture. And because it is in the Bible, you will believe I should walk. No. So I want us to examine what the Word of God is. Listen to my message. I think the Living Logos. I've done a teaching years ago on that. What exactly is the Word of God? Because none of the apostles in the early church, in fact, even up till Emperor Emperor Nero, Constantine, and all of these people, they never had the opportunity to hold a Bible like this. It was a taboo. They were kept in temples. Are we together? And then, of course, when the people of God were caught in different kinds of captivities, they were hidden and taken from place to place to arrive like this as a compendium. A lot happened to them. Are we together? But the Bible says, let the word of Christ, Colossians 3 verse 16, dwell in you richly. So I want to ask you a question. How did the disciples grow in the word? When Jesus resurrected, I want you to go back to the book of Acts. When an average believer got up in the morning, what did he study and how did he study? Are we together? You would only go to the temple. We do it in the Anglican. For those of us who are inclined Anglican and maybe Presbyterians to do this, they have what we call first reading and second reading. Is that true? Where you come up, you read, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. And then, you know, that continues. And then there are parts where you recite, you know, the Apostles' Creed and so on and so forth like that. Now, other Pentecostal circles do not have the privilege of having that kind of thing. You just come, you preach, and then you end. This was how it was in Jewish temples. The priest, one of the, all of those people, would come up and give you one of the scrolls. They had messages for every time. So you would read it and roll it back and keep it. And then they could preach from it, they could speak for it, and so on and so forth. Now, if you don't understand this that I'm teaching, three things will happen to you. Number one, you can fall into the error of absorbing the letters blindly and believing that you are growing in the word because you are consuming these letters. That's the first error. Or number two, you can just say, since this is not the word of God, let me throw it away and destroy your spiritual life. There are people today, now, you know, I was talking with a few people and they were talking to me and said, look, the use of iPads, and now please, I don't have, if you are using devices here, that's the goal is not to discredit you on all of that. We're in the 21st century. But I think a group of gentlemen were talking to me and they said, Apostle, what is your take on the use of iPad as far as the revelation of the word of God we have is concerned? Because our concept of scripture is that I'm holding a book. A man of God even said in Revelations, God told John, write, not type. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now see, personally, I honestly believe, you see, there's something about holding this thing. There is a chemistry between the letters of this book and your eyes. I absolutely believe that. But I don't have a problem. I mean, I have all kinds of things. We use it on our devices, phones, laptops, and whatever you have. What is the word of God? Write this down. Let's define what the word of God is. Since this is the instrument for producing faith, write this down. The word of God is any communication. The word of God is any communication or any platform, any communication or any platform where the voice of God, the ways of God, write it down, where the voice of God, the ways of God, and the life of God can be accessed. The word of God is any communication or any platform where the voice of God, please listen, the ways of God and what? The life of God can be. That means what I am speaking to you now, if it contains the voice of God, if it contains, listen, the ways, that is the principles of God, and if it is capable of releasing the life of God, what is this called? The word of God. Meaning, as I'm speaking to you now, what I am saying is worthy of being written here. The only thing is that I was not part of those who were specifically, you know, brought together to make the 66 books. God's idea is not for us to be limited by 66 books. God's idea is that our lives become a continuation of the books that are written here. Are we together? So God's ultimate goal is not for you to be sound in scripture, but that you become it. An expression. That's why the Bible says we are living epistles. Say living epistles. So that, look at how it is. If you read something like, verily, verily, I say unto you, the words that I speak, listen, they are spirit and they are life. Are we together? God's idea is not just for me to read it, but become that scripture. So that whoever does not have an opportunity and left his Bible at home can also read it in me. Are you getting the point? So imagine every believer like a page in the scripture, releasing certain possibilities. Men were not supposed to know God just by reading the Bible. They were supposed to know God by interacting with the church. So that way before anybody opens this book, he should open the book and say, oh, so this is an explanation. So this attitude is called kindness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you are lost. Let's come again. I want to deliver you from religion. Listen, listen, listen. The power is not just in cramming scriptures. The power is in the words that are written here. That the Holy Spirit can use this word to forge something upon your spirit so that you become an expression of it. Not just a talker of it. And that's where we destroy ourselves. The word of God is not Greek. The word of God is not Hebrew. Listen, the word of God is not English. The word of God is any platform for accessing Him. Listen, if there is a way I can make this become the voice of God and a platform to speak a particular scripture within the period of that miracle, this is the word of God. How do I teach this now? Help me, Holy Spirit. If I prophesy to you and I say, Ejimi, may the Lord bless you, and it happens, do you know what? Why it happened? Because what I have spoken is the word of God. It was a platform where the life of God could flow to him. If I use oil to lay on your head, the oil works because the word of God is on it. So the word of God is not the writings about God. The writings about God. How many of you know granite? Now, this Bible is like the granite. The real granite. Do you just eat the thing like that? You open it. But you cannot access what is inside until you come to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, brothers and sisters, that is why many people read this, but they cannot get faith. I'm going to show you something, how faith comes. But we must understand the character and the word of God. I read a lot. I study the Bible. But I have the consciousness that I am an expression of the word of God. Are we together now? So when you come to me, I don't run and open the Bible and say, this verse is this verse, that. That I left my Bible at home does not mean the word of God is at home. The word of God is living and active. It's your Bible. I'm teaching you your Bible. See, I'm showing you why we don't get results. I can hold this against a witch and put it under my bed and snore myself into a terrible dream. Are we together? I may think that because this was under my pillow, it does not have any power in itself. The power is released, listen, when this is studied by faith. By faith means that you believe that although these are letters, the Spirit of God can breathe upon this. This is what logos, you see, the word logos and rhema that people are speaking. Rhema is not just the revealed word. Rhema is when the breath of the Spirit comes upon this letter. It's like the breaking of the groundnut seed. And all of a sudden you can receive it. So you don't need to recite the scripture. You only need to have the life thereof. The recitation of the scripture is to add to your excellence in communication and to strengthen your conviction. It is not the recitation. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Jesus did not say, if you stand before people, the name he said is not Jesus. We mention Jesus so that they will know that the office we are acting upon is the Christ. The name is not Jesus. The name is Lord. And Lord is a revelation. It means absolute master, sovereign controller. So I look at a spirit. I'm not speaking, but I'm casting him in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a recitation. In the name of Jesus, be healed. No. The name of Jesus is an office. So, whether I am talking or not, is still the name of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Jesus meets somebody, a madman in Gadara. The demons beg him and say, don't cast us out. What did he say? Go! Now, that word go, you say it and it may not work. Because the go is not just G-O. The go was simply a voice activated communicator of the word of God. Whatever he said, even if he said come, they still would have gone. It's not like they needed intelligent English because they spoke good English. The demons say we understand. No. Please don't be excited for nothing. I really want you to get this thing. Are we together? The word of God is not just about your voice. The word of God is about an understanding that makes you become a platform for his life. So as I am walking down, I'm giving the word of God expression. If I happen to open my mouth and speak to you, I have given the word of God more expression. That is the reason why a donkey could still communicate the word of God. That is why handkerchiefs and aprons, they were taken. Could the handkerchief speak? They could not speak, but they were going by the word of God. Jesus sent men in his name. They were not born again, yet they returned with results. They said the demons were subject to us through thy name. Hallelujah. Why do we study the Bible? Write this quickly. We study the Bible for three major reasons. Number one, we study the Bible because contained in the Word of God, contained in the Bible as we know. Now I can call it interchangeably the Word of God, you understand. The Bible contains the most accurate dealing of God with man. The Bible contains the most accurate dealing of God with man. We study it because it's the most accurate historical compendium of God's dealing with man. There are many history books, but the Bible gives us the most accurate compendium, historically speaking, of God's dealings with man. Number two, the Bible contains principles, promises, prophecies from God to man. The Bible contains principles, promises, prophecies from God to man. So we study so that we can have an understanding of these things. Number three, we study the Bible because it is the only book We study the Bible because it is the only book that can authorize the Holy Spirit to make manifest what is written therein. We study the Bible because it is the only book that can authorize the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit to make manifest the things that are written therein. No other spirit is legally authorized to manifest everything written here. Now, it does not mean other spirits cannot manifest what is written here, but only the Holy Ghost is authorized to back up, to make manifest. Meaning, listen. Meaning, if I read the Bible and I see by His stripes I am healed. Now listen, when the Word of God contained is released in my spirit, because of this book, is giving me access to that Word of God. Now the Holy Spirit is authorized to make real that which I have believed from the book. Are you getting what I'm saying now? A time is going to come, maybe not in this current church age, but a time is going to come, we are not going to read this again. I hope you know. Yeah. A time will come, we will not read this, but we will continue growing in the Word. A time is going to come, we will not read this again. It's not heresy. It will not be in this dispensation. The book of Revelation ends with the beginning of a new dispensation. We do not yet know what will happen therein. The same way before our time, it was only from Acts chapter 1, you know, when the church was born, and now our dispensation has had the privilege of access to read this. Are we together? Other saints, believers, still in our dispensation did not read this. Yet the Word of God was mighty in them. For instance, Apollos, the Bible says he was even mighty in scripture. This is where we miss it. We read the letters. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all the hosts together. Gather me, O God. Gather me. Gather me, O God. You see, now listen. That looks very sincere, but the Word of God is not on that statement. I'm being careful so you don't feel offended, but it's the truth. I want to teach you how faith works. Do you know, for many years, I really didn't understand how faith worked. Until one time I studied almost 11 people, those who represented men of faith. From Bishop Oyedepo to Kenneth Copeland and his wife, to Dr. Frederick Casey Price, to all of the men, hallmarks of faith, E.W. Kenyon. I sat down with these people and I started seeing it. I said, so this is where we're missing it. We recite scriptures and believe that the recitation is where the power is released. No, sir. Are we together? Am I discrediting the reading of the Word of God? Of course not. Of course not. You can see how old this Bible is. It was not like that. Something made it so. It's called diligence. Diligence until the Bible, you see it. I don't know how many times I've laminated this Bible again and again. I've read it to a point that the pages, I can close my eyes. You say, Matthew. Okay, I'm in Isaiah. I wanted to try. You know, I can literally open any page. Everywhere is marked up and down. So I believe it. But I found out that many of us keep accumulating this. And then we wonder why things are not working for us. The Word of God is the Spirit and the life of God. The Spirit and the life of God. The Spirit and the life of God. Whether released by the reading of these letters or communicated through the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Faith comes. Now let's discuss faith. We're back to faith. Romans 10:17. Is God helping us tonight? I'm working this thing with us because I want us to understand faith. We are going to pray. Romans 10:19. Read it please. 10:17. 1, 2, read. Now, the word hearing, let me correct two things. The word hearing, the first hearing, is a very broad word. It does not just mean faith comes by using your ears. Are we together? The word hearing is a very broad word. And there are many synonyms you can add to it. Number one is perception. 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 Faith comes by perceiving. Not just hearing with the ear alone, like speaking to you physically. Faith comes by perception, because when you read your Bible, you don't hear anything. Correct? You don't hear what you read like this. You can hear through your ears. And remember, even about hearing, the Bible says, he that has an ear. Meaning not everybody has this kind of ear. Are we together? So, the first hearing there means perception. Any platform that can create perception. It's not just limited to hearing. And then the second hearing there means understanding or comprehension. I want you to correct that. Not necessarily in your Bible. I'm not saying it's wrong. So faith comes by perceiving and understanding, and that by the word of God. That's how faith comes. When you just read it and it says hearing and hearing, there is a dimension of application. It means listening again and again, and that can help. But the accurate picture is perception and understanding. Everybody say perception. Say understanding. The second hearing there is understanding. Understandest what thou readest. That was where the problem was. The Ethiopian Enoch. He was not reading. He was reading. But understandest what thou readest. Perception. So, when I'm studying the word of God, the Bible now, and I'm reading it, the moment perception can come out of it, the word of God has come into my spirit. I don't have to hear. Now, when I'm listening to Bible on tape, or hearing a preacher teach like this, and the word of God comes, it is still hearing. So when we say hearing, I don't just mean your ears. Your ears, your eyes, your dreams, your visions, any platform that can create perception can impart faith. Listen. There are people who have had dreams and got up from those dreams. Are we together? And took certain actions. Those dreams brought solid conviction to their lives. I shared with you about the encounter that I had with Jesus Christ. Now that encounter, it's not written in the Bible that Joshua Selman will have an encounter. But in that encounter, I told you Jesus did not speak to me. He never opened his mouth to speak. Yet he spoke so many things. I left that encounter full of faith. And Stephen full of faith. Where did he read anything that we see faith there? Do not limit your Bible study to just hearing and reading. Any platform that creates perception of the word can release faith. So the first is perception. The most common platform of perception is hearing, your ears. Because you hear sounds. Sounds. So as I'm speaking to you now, if you cover your ears, it's difficult for you to read my lips. Do you know why I'm speaking this to you? How do the blind, deaf and dumb receive faith? How do the blind, deaf and dumb receive faith? If someone is blind, if someone is deaf, if someone is dumb, are you saying faith cannot come to him? Are we together? You see people go to crusade grounds completely deaf. Meaning as the man of God is preaching, other people are jumping. They themselves are not even following. Yet at the end they are healed. And we are going to be finding out later that their faith healed them. So how did it come? Question 2. A dead man who cannot breathe, cannot talk, cannot do anything. How does he come back to life? What is the principle of resurrection? And then, how did the bones of Elijah, not breathing, still transfer the anointing to somebody? Everybody say the word of God. That thing you call the bones of Elijah was the word of God. Any platform that can release the life of God. I Thank you, Jesus. Say after me, the word of God is not limited to my hearing. Thank you. The word of God is not limited to my hearing alone. The word of God can come into my spirit through any mechanism that can create perception and understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meaning, the word of God can come to you through a Christian music. Now, you are listening to a song. Play something. Play what you are playing. Watch this. Listen. If this guy is anointed, hallelujah. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Thank you. Look at what this guy is playing. Play it. Are you hearing any words? English? Is there Hebrew? Is there your language? I want you to follow me carefully. Are we together? Now, but you see the anointing that is released from this. I can put the word of God on this sound now, and you will see miracles happening. Are you getting it now? I can put it by saying, then this noun, the sound that leaves this keyboard, does not become an ordinary sound. It becomes the word of God. Why? A platform that can release the life of God, the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You will hear it, and somebody now will come under the anointing, and you are wondering the operation of the word of God. This is ordinary keyboard. That's how you can be listening to worship in your room and faith is rising. You are not exactly reading any scripture per se, yet faith is rising because through it the word of God is coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? The word of God is at work in me. The presence of the Holy Spirit in my life is a sign that I was born of the word. If you are not born of the word, he cannot come, because he comes in response to the word. So I am born of the word of God. New life is in me. So the Holy Spirit is comfortable to live in me. Are we together? And every time that spirit and life is in me, he can release what is being said. Now I can speak it to happen, but I don't have to speak it alone to happen. I just need to create a platform for it to happen. Look, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you believe this, you will know why we pray for the sick. Not necessarily having to say, be healed. You just touch them. And they're saying, sir, you see somebody tried to say, here, this is where the pain is, and you are touching his head. How does touching the head heal pain at the back? It's the word of God. You are only placing the word of God on them. So you have become an expression of the word. The word became flesh. That's what you have now become. So you are not only reading scripture, you are the word becoming flesh. The word becoming flesh. When you play keyboard, you transfer the word of God to it. This is what is called the ministration of life. The ministration of life. You are transferring life. You are transferring life to that word. Are we together now? So when you put the word of God upon this now, deliverance begins to happen. Healings begin to happen. A sinner can sit down. That's why people come for concerts, and at the end of it, you make an altar call and they come out. You didn't teach John 3:16, but the word of God convicted them because it came from the music. I want you to understand faith. I really want you to understand faith. This may look complicated, but as we continue, you will see how it ties up. It will make your life powerful. I don't move around hoping that demons will respond to my quoting of scripture. I know a lot of scripture to the glory of God, but I am a life-giving spirit. I am a life-giving spirit. My body has become a communicator of the word of God, the spirit and the life of God. So if I shake you, for instance, shake me, Femi. If I shake you, I release the life and the power of God. Are you seeing that? If I shake you, I release the life and the power of God. You may be sick, I may not know. But as soon as I leave you, you find out I've been healed. Now, I did not ask you whether you are sick. The word of God saw a need And because I have become the Word of God, it feels it immediately. Are we together? Say, I'm a manifestation of the Word of God. Please, I want you to say it. I am a manifestation of the Word of God. Say this. My goal for studying Scripture. My goal for studying Scripture is not just to be learned, but to be an expression of the Word of God. My goal for studying Scripture is not just to have head knowledge. It's not just to be learned, but to be a walking Bible. So when men look at your life, they can read a Scripture immediately through your life. Living epistles. We fool ourselves in the body of Christ that because we have finished the Bible cover to cover, and by God's grace I've done this many times, so we say, I've read the Bible cover to cover. If I'm a man of God, as I'm speaking, the Bible says, blah, blah, blah. And once they are talking, these spirits are saying, my God, these guys don't even know what the Word of God is. We fool ourselves, and at the end of it, nothing happens. Are we together? And then somebody comes with a saxophone or a guitar and starts playing. Anywhere you see the manifestation of the power of God, the Word of God must have preceded it. Because the Holy Spirit is not authorized to manifest when the Word of God has not gone ahead. So when you see the Word of God moving, when you see the Holy Spirit moving, He's confirming the Word. Confirming the Word. Whether spoken or revealed. The manifestation of the Word of God. The manifestation of the Word of God. I tell you, as I speak this thing, you see, sometimes, because we are talking about the Word of God and we are dividing it accurately to open up these things, the Spirit of God, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The moment you begin to communicate the Word of God very accurately, it's like His body is itching Him. He wants to move. He wants to confirm it. I'm telling you how to confirm the Word. It's not Holy Spirit, move. Move. That's not it. Let the Word of God be communicated accurately. And it's like He cannot. I'm not talking of just shaking under the anointing. I'm talking of signs and wonders and miracles. You place the Word of God upon everything. The Word of God is on the air. The Word of God is on your chair. Everything that can communicate the Word of God. That's what makes the anointing. When the Word of God saturates a place, the Holy Spirit follows everywhere the Word goes. The Holy Spirit follows everywhere the Word goes. If the Word goes to your kidney, He's following it there. If the Word goes to your academics, He's following it there. If the Word goes to your business, you don't get the Holy Spirit to move outside the Word of God. It's witchcraft. So, send the Word of God and the Holy Spirit follows the Word. Are we together? You send the Word of God and the Spirit moves in that direction. So if I declare that I prophesy to your finances, if the Holy Spirit does not back that, then it was not the Word of God. Even if I quote Scripture. Are we together? So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is proof that the Word of God has been released in a place. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is proof that His Word has been released. We pride ourselves with theological knowledge. We pride ourselves with knowledge of Scriptures. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. But it's not the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit cannot back it. Please hear what I'm teaching you. The Holy Spirit only comes to the scene when the Word of God is released. Whether through speaking or through any platform, including your body, being a manifestation. So when you want to see the energy of the Spirit released, then be sure that what you are speaking or doing is the Word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If it's not the Word of God, you are not going to get the Holy Spirit there. Please hear me. The degree to which we have seen the miraculous is the extent to which the Word of God has come out. So you can speak 100 words, only 20 of them are the Word of God. The Holy Spirit backs only 20% of your communication. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the difference between what we call anointed people. They may not have all the verses, but their bodies have become greater platforms to release the word of God. So the Holy Spirit, in answer to the word, confirms them. Are we together? I'm a carrier of the word of God. Not just by cramming scriptures. I have read it. But the word of God flows through me like water. The spirit and the life of God. I understand the principles. As I walk in the consciousness of that principle and with the understanding, every time I utter my word or respond in any direction as the Holy Spirit would direct, that's what we call faith. I will tell you what faith is now. Faith is your response to and from the word of God. Not just scriptures, your response to the word of God. So you have to make it, be sure that what you are responding to is not just scripture, but the word of God. And it is called faith. And that faith will bring performance. More on that next week. I'm not talking so much about, I need you to understand the word of God. So that when we begin to teach on the dynamics, the operation of faith, you will know why certain things are not happening in our lives. Our idea of faith largely has been correct assimilation of scripture, correct recitation of the same, and then expectation in hope that something will happen. It will never work that way. Are we together? John 3:16. For this and that and that and that happened. For we know the grace of our Lord, that though he was poor, yet he became rich, so that we through his poverty might be, and we wrap it. And we say, Lord, this is your word. Respond and say, no. It is true that I spoke that through the servants, but you are only speaking scripture theologically. Listen, let me tell you, if the word of God was just scripture, then the scribes should be have been the greatest carriers of the word. They knew the entire Pentateuch of heart, and Jesus looked at them and said, ye err not knowing the scripture. He said, you search the scripture, for I think in them you will find life, and you will not come to me. Listen, if Jesus appears here, and somebody is writing a book, the Bible says scripture testified of him. Is that true? Scripture. Listen, if you are writing a book about me and I show up, who is a more authentic medium? Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, the scribes had head knowledge that prophesied about Jesus. When Jesus came, they said, no, Jesus, we don't want you. But we want the scrolls. And he said, you are hypocrites. You read the scrolls, they talk about me. Now you're reading, I am here as the word become flesh. You are rejecting me, yet you are doing Bible study. And Jesus said, you are hypocrites. Are we together? But a woman just ran and said, blind, but if I may but touch the hem of who? The word of God. She perceived. She didn't read anywhere, but she saw men looking and she said, I have heard and something has happened in my spirit. I perceive and I understand that this man has power to heal. There is nowhere in scripture where she read that you should take a step of faith. She created an action based on her perception. God honored that action and she was healed. I'll teach you that next week. Don't take action until you perceive and understand the word. You will be wasting your time. So we take many steps. Do you know, people can come and stand here with their tithe, frowning, no perception, no discernment, no understanding. All these men of God. Am I sure? Ejimi's tithe. I'm looking at this tithe. I hope it's not my money that is going to buy another tithe. And you are there grumbling and arguing, and you drop that. And the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, men of God will not tell you that because they need the money. So they'll say, no problem. Unbelief or not, that's your business. Just drop it. Let's use it. But I'm telling you the sincere truth. It must be by faith. So here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Give it to us, please. Goodness. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. I want us to read it. Now you will understand all that I've taught you. There is a protocol to faith. Ready? One to read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Full stop. Whoever wants to be a man of faith, what is the first step? It says, for he that comes to God must believe, not his word. Leave the issue of manifestation. You must believe that he exists. Your perception must, you must understand the person you are dealing with. The integrity of his person and his ability to provide for you, number one. Then number two, that he's a rewarder. That he's a rewarder. There are two things God wants to be known for to release faith. One, that he exists. His existence means a lot, because if he exists, then he's mighty. If he exists, then he can hear. My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. There's a song like that. Have you listened to that song? Do you believe God is alive? I know you will say yes. Your life does not show it. Are we together? Because if you believe, it will compel you to take action. Look at me. Listen. Do you believe there is water on this table? Do you believe? Do you believe? Now you can come and carry it. Do you believe there is water on this table? Yes, you will not come and carry it, because you consider it to be a waste of time. So do you believe there is God? Yes, so you can relate to him. This is why people do not pray. They don't believe God is alive. Let me tell you the truth. The revelation behind a life of prayer is not religious struggles. It's not an attempt to compete with people. I prayed for 8 hours, you prayed for 6 hours. All that is junk. Prayer is predicated upon an understanding that unto him that answers prayer shall all flesh come. After the service, people are going to be waiting here, queuing right to the back, because you believe I'm not going. What if I use style and just run out? If I do that for 3 weeks, you will stop standing here, because it's a sign that you doubt my ability. The first doubt of believers is not even in the power of God to produce that result. It's even his existence. I know you think this thing I'm telling you is powerful. The word of God is guiding us here. Do you believe God exists? It's a very big deal. I've given my life to him, no problem. Do you believe he exists? He's alive. He's alive. Sing it.
He's alive forever. He's alive. Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
He's alive.
Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen.
Do you know why every time you visit a herbalist, you must live with a charm? You don't visit, whether that charm is a goat or is something, you must live with, we call them tokens. Tokens are representations of the existence of something. Are we together? So you go to him. I must marry that man. Put him in a bottle for me. And then they carry his picture. Throw it in a bottle and lock it. Correct? And give you. Say, hide it somewhere. For as long... Let me tell you. The devil does not need that bottle. He needs your faith. And since your faith must be tied on something, he gave you a bottle. Let me tell you why it still works, even if you are born again. You are born again because, although you are born again, you truly still, you have tasted of the power of that charm. Something in you still tells you it's working. So it continues working. The day a higher revelation and a higher anointing contends, it stops working. A man of God one time was hungry and was passing, and he saw a chicken that they had slaughtered for sacrifice. He carried the chicken and roasted it and ate. Do you know why? He never believed that that thing can do anything to him. He said, they shall take up poison. Who? The believers. Believers in God, not in miracles. You believe in miracles, but do you believe in God? We're talking about knowing that God exists. You know Joshua Selman exists, but do you believe he exists? Let me tell you something. You are a hypocrite
if you claim to believe what is written here and don't believe the one who wrote it. Are we together? Oh, I believe all things are mine. Do you believe the God who said it? Lord, I don't believe in you, but I believe in what you said. Does that make sense? You don't believe in me, but you believe in what I said. No. Me and what I have said are one. My word is my bond. My word represents me when I'm not there. You can take my word to represent me. If you are dedicating an album and I stand before Koinonia, listen to me, and I say, Joshua Selman, on behalf of myself, I give you 1,000,000 naira. What is that? That's my word. Now, if you go somewhere and you are doing your calculations, you will calculate and say, 1,000,000 naira is coming from Apostle. Have I given you the 1,000,000? But you know me. You believe in me. It's up to you now to believe I can deliver it. Let me tell you what you do. You will first size me and look at me. Can Apostle really bring out 1,000,000 naira? Are we together? So when you ascertain that I am able to do it, number two, am I willing? When you ascertain that, you say, I believe it. So when God says, I will bless you, your unbelief sizes him and says, no, God, you are great, but these triplets you are talking about, don't joke with us. So the cure is not just action. The action part is hard. We are coming to that. But if you act upon something you don't believe, is a waste. If you believe in something and don't act, it's also a waste. Are you seeing how we are cleaning it up? But we are starting tonight with the understanding of God, His word, His integrity. Say, I believe in God. Shout it, I believe in God. I believe He is alive. I believe He exists. That's why I love the Apostles' Creed. The Anglicans recite it all the time. Right? I love it so much because it's an encapsulation. It's like a statement of faith. Sometimes you need to recite what you really believe. I believe my business can rise. I believe my life can do this. I believe my wife can get pregnant. That's wonderful. But do you believe in God? There is no guarantee in scripture that if you believe those things, they will happen. He that believeth on me. John 12:14. Please give it to us. We'll find somewhere and pray now. John 12:14. John 12:14. The Son of the Living God Himself speaking. John 12:14. John 14:12. John 14:12. John 14:12. Thank you. Read it, please, everyone. One, two, read. Stop. It is important who you believe. Not just that you believe. Who you believe. Jesus never said if you believe on things, you believe that things that will happen, they will happen. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on what? On me. I want your faith to be directed to me, not my works. Not my works. I believe all things are possible. But the reason why I believe all things are possible is because of him that can make them possible. The end of your faith should be tied to a person and his integrity, not the things he can do. Restful confidence. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Do you believe in him? Do you believe he exists? Sister, listen to me. It's impossible to believe that fibroid will leave you until you believe in who the healer is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Man of God, I believe my ministry will be great. You are joking. You are just playing games. But I know whom I have believed. And so I am persuaded in his ability that he is able. The first thing is to believe the person. Then I am persuaded. We leave the person and we believe in the ability and the things that will happen. And we never get results. I see this happen all the time. Innocent people, not taking out time. Do you know this is why intimacy is important with God? Intimacy does not help you believe things. Intimacy gives you an encounter. An encounter furnishes the reality of God in you, so that whatever He says is as good as Him, so you can believe. Jesus, Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. We call you our Messiah, Jesus, Son of God. I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Sing one more time from your heart. Yeah. So, when I lock up myself, I carry my Bible. I set an atmosphere that brings an intense presence of God. And when I lie down and open my Bible, number one, I am not reading for preaching. M.O.G. I'm not reading for preaching. I'm not reading for recitation. John chapter 1 verse 5. In this and that and that. No. I'm looking at it. Jesus said, if you believe in me, and I sit down there, Holy Ghost, help me believe this truth. Jesus said, His presence is there. Jesus said, and in my mind, I'm looking at people gathered for miracle service. They don't know me. Maybe they are discussing among themselves, where is the man? And the man is there walking on his feet. Lord, I know you are able. I don't know what I'm going to see here, but I believe in you. There is no assurance anywhere physically, but I believe in you. And when I step and come right here and sit down, the moment the worship team finishes, do you know what I tell the Holy Spirit every time? I say, let's go. It's time to go and do this. As I climb this stage, I'm an ordinary man, but not alone. He's standing by my side. And so I can speak and make every audacious statement. And because of what is coming, listen, let me tell you, I believe in Jesus. I really believe in Him. When He tells me something, I don't doubt. You will always doubt God till you encounter Him. It's not the issue of I'm trying. Now let me tell you, watch this. The body of Christ has fabricated a formula that if not careful, it will be our carnal attempt to recite and replace encounters. It's the concept, a false concept of recitation of scriptures. Listen. What we call confession comes from the word homologio, meaning speak that which has been said. I believe that. There is a step to that. But let me tell you what many people do. We think that we just get up and start speaking. I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed. I won't hear anything. I'm blessed. And you said, I said it 100 times. Listen, I'm not being sarcastic. I hope you understand. I'm just trying to correct us, because we will soon get frustrated with all those things. I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm talking to my mind. No, listen, your mind was designed to submit. Your mind is not that rebellious. It was designed to submit. You have not created the condition for it to submit. The Bible said, casting down every yetzer, every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. Your mind can submit. The mistake that we make is that we don't take our time to meditate. Lord, this shall not happen. In the name of Jesus, it can't happen. But it's happening. It can't happen. In the name of Jesus, it can't happen. It can't happen. Me, God forbid, I must carry my child. I'm carrying my miracle baby. Now, that is good. I don't have a problem with that confession. But what is the revelation behind it? What is the revelation that sponsors that thing? What you are speaking is not the word of God. What you are speaking is emotion. What you are speaking is fear. I can guarantee you most of what we do is a reaction to fear. It's just a spiritual reaction to fear, or a spiritualized reaction to fear. Because, listen, if you are speaking right now and they tell you your registration date is closing now for whatever, maybe a job, you need 100,000. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I call forth helpers. They are coming. Hey, they are coming. Oh God, they are coming. Watch this. Let me show you that it's not just faith, it's fear. They were praying for the apostles to be released from prison in the book of Acts. They were praying and asking that God would send angels. God now sent the angels. Peter came out and they opened the door, saw Peter, shot him back and kept praying. That's what many of us do. Are we together? No, I can't find my wallet. I'm a tither. What is this? I'm a tither. I dropped my tithe in Koinonia. Oh God, I'm a tither. At least it's better than nothing. But I'm teaching you restful confidence. Say restful confidence. If you are to be honest, you will know it's fear. I noticed the loudest prayer in Koinonia is against the spirit of death and the calling of destiny helpers. I have noticed it personally. That every time I say, everybody stand up. And you know, sometimes you can lead it seriously. Be serious. I mean, when we say go, it's like an arrow. All kinds of. Where are your destiny helpers? Ah, where are they? Praise the Lord. Can you get to a point where when you speak based on conviction? When you say, I shall not die, you are not helping yourself believe. An encounter has furnished a reality in your life, and it's on the strength of that reality you say, I shall not die. How many of you prayed to sit down on your chair? How many? How many of you pray to sit down? Okay, okay. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you? When you came through perception and understanding, you knew that there are laws that were created by God to keep this chair. Who among you is sitting down now and say, oh Lord, I really believe you. Ah no, this chair, you can't disgrace me now. Now, does that mean you are not a believer for keeping quiet? That's how restful your life should be. You can sit down inside fire and you only talk when necessary. Because there is something you know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, I want you to believe what I'm teaching you. Otherwise, this series is a waste. I'm taking out time to pound on this because I want you to believe God. You step in and somebody looks at you and says, I'm your grandmother. Go and ask about the people I have killed. I vow that you will not see December this year. It's a vow. I vow that you will not see December this year. You now go back. Lord, is this how I'm going to go? What did I do? Who did I offend? Let me tell you what most believers will say. God forbid. Then later they will sleep. I say, Kai. Hi. Now let me tell you, that woman herself is even afraid of you. But because she gave an attitude and said, I dare you. She left you with an attitude. You too, you claim to have the attitude. But there was no restful confidence. After a while, you say, Apostle, I don't know, don't mind, I don't be, it's not me, but I'm just telling you so that you will pray for me. It's still fear. It's still fear. The same way an intelligent student writes an exam, he knows what he wrote, and they'll just look and say, do you know only four people passed? The student may just feel an inkling of fear, but the student knows that even if it's one student that passed, I am the one. Now, he's not boasting out of nothing. He knows what he read. He understood it. He cross-checked the question after the exam and he was absolutely satisfied. It's called restful confidence. The other person who does not really know what he did is now hoping. That's why when he sees, finally, Have you seen the best student?
Lord, I'm grateful. I give you all the praise, but I expected it.
This is how your life must be. That you know God. Sister, you are 34. You are not going to marry. And all of a sudden you start going and say, "Toh, mountain to mountain, valley to valley, everywhere." You start running all around. And you just fidget. There are many of us, the moment somebody speaks to you, someone holds your hand and says, "Faustina, I had a vision. In that vision, I saw cats eating you up." Faustina does not sleep for 1 week. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I will tell you what the problem is. The problem is not the vision. The problem is not whether it's true or false. The problem is you. If I look at you now and say, "Faustina, you are a man. Will you pray about it?" I'll tell you why. It's not just because God told you you're a man. There are too many things that have happened in your life to convince you beyond imagination. You don't just believe you're a woman. You don't just trust you're a woman. You know you're a woman. Notice the progression. I'm believing God. I trust God. I know my God. I know Him. I know Him. God, this doesn't look like Him. I know Him. When can you say you know Him? That's what Moses knew. He knew His ways. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him, because I know Him. I know Him. I'm trusting God to get to a point in my life where I don't just jack up my faith trying to believe God. 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 Oh Lord, I believe in you. Oh Lord, No. At that point, you will move mountains. You will join these elders. Brothers and sisters, mountains will stand before you. People will even pity you. Their eyes, because they think you are dead. At the end of it, they will not see the mountain again. And they will see you shaking yourself. That's how great people live in this life. This ministry you have seen is here by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. I've come to a point where I'm not trying to believe God. I really trust Him. Faith is based on the speaking of God. Trust is based on your experience with God. You have had an experience with God. There is a track record of His credibility. So you can trust. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," He says, "I fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." We need to begin to walk by faith. There are too many things in our lives that attempt to challenge our trust in God. But you must get to a point where you say, "From today, I walk by faith." And the first encounter is to make the word of God real in your life. Look at me. The greatest investment you can make in your life is not having an education. The greatest investment you can make in your life is not just having good friends. The greatest investment you can make in your life is to make your life saturated with the word of God. Where you take the word of God as a project, you have given yourself a basis for true faith. Because there are mountains to cross. I like that Don Moen song. "Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. And this is the song we'll be singing forever. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord."
Let's take that part again.
"Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before."
Listen, Koinonia, I speak to you. You are not the first to go through challenges. There are men on earth who have crossed this river. They have crossed the river of barrenness. They turn barrenness to triplets. Are we together? There are men who turn being a pauper, not affording
10 naira to giving billions to nations. There are men of God who turn 2 members to nations. You are not the first. There are those who overrode the mockery of men. It's time for you to leave the level you are in. This life of pity. Oh God, won't you show up for me? No, sir. He will show up when you are ready. Though we are few, you are surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. And this is the song that we'll be singing forever. Oh, holy is the Lord. Listen, so God puts his word upon your life. Femi, you will be great. He will never do any other thing until you do something with the word. You can sit there forever and die a failure. It does not mean he lied. The word of God does not act on itself. By the time you look at your life, my father is not doing well. My mother is not doing well. I came from a village. Please listen. I am one of 17 children. I am even the second to the last born. I am 35 years old. I've not done anything meaningful. You look at all of this and God says, if you believe me, God never gave men instructions until he revealed himself to them. The first assignment was to reveal himself to Abraham, revealed himself to Moses. Then he now sent them. Every time they wanted to disobey, they remembered him. They remembered him. The same way somebody wanted to tell you, look, there's somebody that I saw in WhatsApp. I spoke with him and he said he's looking for a wife. And the way you have been desperately looking for a husband or a wife, I think I can do arrange for you. And he said, no problem. God works in many ways. I believe, but that is not faith. It's unbelief. Are we together? Listen, make up your mind today that you will never take any action in unbelief until you stay and believe God. This is why people who rush through things in life suffer. They rush to start business. They rush to marry. They rush to enter a relationship. They rush to do this. Do you know why? When challenges push you, you will not just look at what you are looking at. You have to look at God. You have to go back and say, Lord, I know you all. You spoke. You said Koinonia will rise. You said you will give us a voice. I believe you. Many graduates are holding their certificates, roaming around the streets in Nigeria, angry. The same people can bring notes for you when they were in 200 level. They said, God told me I will be great. Fast forward many years, they are now holding. They were never believing in God. They were believing in that certificate. They were just hoping that God was the certificate. Now that they've held the certificate, they are moving around. And you are asking them, where were your visions? Where were your dreams? You said God gave you courage. God told you you will never fail. Brothers and sisters, what has God told you? Leave what he has told you and focus on him, the one who spoke. I'm reintroducing to you today a God who is dependable. I'm reintroducing to you today a God who had parted the sea. This Bible is a chronicle of his ability, a chronicle of his integrity, so that you will believe him. Away with all those talk. We have mocked God. We have cursed God because of our challenges. I know there are challenges. I never said there would not be. That's why I read you Hebrews 11. But I want to see your reaction. Show me your reaction under fire and I show you whether you know God or not. Show me your reaction when things are not happening and I can tell you whether you know God. Though he slay me, will I be honest if I say I do not know him? I know him. I know him. He is dependable. If I die today without a miracle, I still know him. That's what made the people in Hebrews 11. They knew him so much, they rejected deliverance. Listen, listen. Imagine, for instance, that God gives you 2 options in life. Just imagine. And God says, you will go through a season with me for 6 years and you will become so mighty. Or you will go through a season for 1 year. You will start moving fast, but you will not become as mighty as 6 years. Let me tell you what many of us will choose. A bed in hand is worth 20 in the bush. Oh God, thank you for giving me this 1 year. I can pay the price. But there are those who know God and say, Lord, even if it's 10 years, let's go. Because one step in faith will give you 20 years worth of miracle. One step in faith. One step in faith. Have you not seen how God wiped the tears of people and changed the lives of people overnight? Men who trusted God. Koinonia, I'm introducing to you a God you need to know before you start claiming to believe his word. You must have an encounter with this God. You must create the atmosphere for his word to be real in your life. Let it not just be talk, 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 cheap talk, talk. No, sir. Anything God cannot give me, no man would claim to say he can give me. Anything God cannot give me. That's why I can look at any man and say, thank you for your open door, but go with it. God did not open that door. And I will not go back to sleep and regret. I believe God. Brothers and sisters, look at me. I have gone through mountains and valleys in my life. Make no mistakes about it. Don't you think I'm just talking to you from a standpoint of comfort? I have gone through things that very few people can go through and survive. I know that God is mighty. By and large in life, everything you trust will fail you. And a time will come, you will no longer hold on to things, but a person. Pastors have called me, man of God, I've listened to your messages, but nothing is working in my ministry. And the first question I ask them is, are you sure you are called? And they say, yes. I said, if you believe you are called, did you hear what God told you? They say, yes. I say, stay there. Stay at the last instruction he gave you and die there. There's a song that says, I will be a good soldier. He says, I will die at my post. If he does not shift a post, let me die there. I will survive the mockery. I will survive the ridicule. I don't have to be under pressure to explain things to people. No, it's not like this. Actually, it's God that told me. You will never believe him until you encounter him. You will never believe him until you encounter him. You will never believe him until you encounter him. Koinonia, please hear me. Faith, the foundation of faith is an encounter with God. An experience that furnishes the reality of him. There are real mountains you will face. You will face all kinds of mountains. Even the most trusted people in your life cannot take his place. A time will come you will have to stand alone and say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. And this is the song we'll be singing forever. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Though we are few. Though we are few. We're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. This is the song we'll be singing, we'll be forever. Singing forever. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Say, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Say, holy is the the Lord say, faithful is the Lord. Faithful is the Lord. I want you to fall in love with your Bible tonight. Listen, please. Listen. Listen. Please listen to me. I know you have books in your library. Listen to me, please. I know you have books in your library. I know you have DVDs. I know you have CDs. But I bring you to a point tonight where you eat this word till something leaves it and enters your spirit. I have in my phone a compendium of the words of Jesus. Only the words of Jesus spoken. Only everything Jesus ever said in the Bible. Only it. I listen to it every time. I love the words of Jesus. I listen to it. Sometimes I let it run for hours as I sleep. And I have encounters. I wake up under certain intense dimensions. I know something happened. I don't need to know what happened. I know something happened. Are we together? I know that something happened to me. An encounter. I'm a very busy person. Just returned from a trip today. Tomorrow we're off for another one. You know, Eddie was driving me. We're coming from the bank and he asked me a question. He said, Apostle, do you ever rest? I may live a busy life, but not too busy for this. This is the most accurate picture, compendium of the dealings of God with men. I read my Bible emotionally. I don't read my Bible intellectually. When I look at it, I see myself. If it be thou, bid me come. I replace Peter and I stand there. I look at all the challenges that are before me. There's a peace in my heart, in spite of all the darkness that surrounds me. And this peace that I know only comes alive every time I hear your voice. There's a light in my soul, in spite of all the darkness that surrounds me. And this light in my soul only comes alive every time I hear your voice. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me. If you do not come to a point of restful confidence through the word, you will shake like a leaf at life. At a point in time, you will feel like dying. That's what makes people commit suicide. They get to a point in their lives where they move left, there is no way out. They move right, they are pressed to the core. And they think the only way is to drink, to smoke, or get a gun and blow themselves. This word can minister the life of God to you. This is ordinary scripture. But the moment you begin to read it, believing that out of it will come the word of God, I assure you, you will see miracles in your life and ministry. Sister, I'm prophesying to you, it's not over. I don't know who said it's over, but you take this Bible and recreate your future. You have been predicting it by wishful thinking. Now create it through the power of the word. You have been predicting it just by hoping. Hope is important. It maketh not ashamed. But let me tell you the truth. If you must walk in any reality in your life, you are going to have to create it. I believe the word of God. I know whom I have believed. I have not followed cunningly devised fables. I believe him. It's time for every word that proceeds from your mouth to be a communication of faith. Don't speak until you believe. We having the same spirit of faith. It's called the operation of faith. We having the same spirit, operation of faith, as it is written, I have believed and so I spoke. I did not speak to believe. I spoke because I have believed. You don't speak to believe. You have an encounter to believe. Then you speak because you have believed. This is Bible faith. Time will fail me of Jephthah and Barak. Men who through faith, Koinonia, please listen. They built houses by faith. Some of us have come where God has brought us today. It is by grace to through faith. By grace, through faith. By grace, but through faith. It is not just by grace, through wishing. By grace, through crossing your legs and hoping that because it's by grace it will happen, you will never see any result. There are two prayer points we are going to pray now. And we are done for this night. Next week, I don't want you to miss it. I'm going to be teaching you the dynamics of faith. How faith really works. We are going to look at this thing in depth. How do I translate desires to manifestations? Rise up on your feet. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. And I will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. Let your first prayer point tonight be a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for showing me what I've been missing. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, thank you for showing me tonight that faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is not just mental asset. Faith is not just memory of scripture, although that is important. Faith is not just Bible study for a historical advantage. Lord, I thank you. Shabrata rato sobrekete. Elaka parata kato shodo bregede balada balada balada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. I'd like you to cry and say, Father, an addiction for scripture, plant it in me. Listen. There are some of us here as I'm speaking. For 1 month, for 2 months, you have not opened this Bible. You have opened it in Koinonia. Listen, but to settle down, some of us used to be really serious with studying the Bible. You just give God 15 minutes, just rush it. No. Listen. The goal is not to read the Bible every day. The goal is to be consistent. Life will not afford you. There are very few people, except those who use devotionals. There are very few people that can really afford to read the Bible every day. 5 o'clock to 6. It's a worthy habit. But not everybody will have that. Are we together? There are many leaders who don't study the Bible. I'm a leader. I know how hard it is to work with those routines. I'm a leader. I'm a man of God. Many men of God will lie to you. It's not every morning that I get up, I read my Bible. No, that would be a big lie. Many people will lie to you. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. 5:30, we're out of this town to catch up with a flight. There may not be time. I may barely even have the time to sleep. I may just get up and rush and take my bath. But one thing I can tell you, when the Bible says, when you see the Bible put an emphasis, the key is consistency. The key is not religion. You can develop a habit that will make you consistent, like a devotional, like creating a time, morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening, or any of them. But brothers and sisters, if you want to grow in faith, you are going to have to embrace your Bible and give God time. So I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, grace to give you time in my life. Lift your voice. Grace to give you time. Grace to give you time. Grace to give you time. Not to rush around my life. That I will seek you with all my heart. I will search for you and I will find you. I will find you with all my heart. I will lift my hands to you and worship. I will worship.
with all my heart. I will search for you and I will find you. I will find you with all my heart. I will lift my voice to you in worship. I will worship. Lord, I give you time. This my busy life. Do something upon my life. Let me be a student of the Bible. Let me give time, knowing that my faith all I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. Not a godfather, not a godmother. All I need is you, Lord. The fountain of favor. The fountain of wisdom. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Talk about this, but we're going to pray it all the same. Listen to me. We're praying, we're rounding up. You cannot obey God until you know His will. Are you hearing me? I will shift that to next week, discerning the will of God. But for now, let me just tell you something. There are two dimensions to the will of God. There is His written will. And there is His revealed will. His written will is that which He has allowed to be written in Scripture. A communication of His desire. It is not matured in the spirit to ask whether God wants you rich or God wants you alive. There are scriptures that already show you it is His will. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you a future. So asking, oh God, do you want a good life for me? It's not a wise prayer. But there are certain dimensions of His will that must be revealed. Next week I'm going to teach you how to access the revealed will of God. It is not written here that Femi should be based in Zaria. It is not written that Sam should be in London. Are we together? It is not written here that a Jimmy should marry Hope. It is not written here that Eddie should be a protocol in Koinonia. But you will need, let me tell you something. One of the areas where people have marked time in their life, they want to obey, but the will, I have studied this and I'm still studying it. The ability to access the revealed will of God. Because if you act in disobedience, it is still unbelief. You have acted. Your action must be based on a knowledge of the will of God. We are going to take off from there. So I'd like you to pray one prayer with all your heart and say, Lord, everywhere I'm still in confusion as to your will for my life, accurate clarity reveal to me. Lift your voice and pray. Koinonia, pray. Every gray area threatening my confidence. Every gray area threatening my confidence. Every gray area. Reveal your will. Reveal your will. Reveal your will. Reveal your will. Make it clear. Make it clear. Make it clear. So that I will run without confusion. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. Every time you turn in the day of battle, it is because you are in doubt of God's presence and God's will. Are we together? The moment you are certain, if someone comes today and says, Joshua Selman, Koinonia is not the will of God, I'm not even going to pray about it. My God. There is a depth of certainty. Do you have that kind of certainty for your life? If no, stop running. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some of you, by this message tonight, you should mark time a while. This rush is too fast. There are some of us, by this teaching, just peg yourself and say the month of October is the month of discernment, the month of clarification, and the month of certainty. Tell yourself, I'm not crossing October with this myriad of doubts in my life. I am tired of believing God today. It's like, this is my husband, but next week I'm in doubt again. It's like, this is my wife, but next week I'm in doubt. It's like, God wants me to do this business, but I'm in doubt. It's like I had Katsina. I was even excited. But now I've come back, Katsina, we're back to sender. It's like, Your faith will not be grounded that way. Open my ears to hear you. And Lord, any confirmation it takes to make me know it is you, give it to me. Lift your voice and pray. These are simple but powerful prayer points. Any confirmation about your will. Absolute clarity. Absolute clarity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I remember years ago, there are many people I see today who I remember when you would ask them when they were students, what will you be doing with your life? They say, serving God to the ends of the earth. They thought they were clear. Right now, ask them, what are you doing with your life? that's your boy. Kai. He said, I thought I had. He said, leave all that one. We're children. That's why now that we're adults, let's face the reality. Let me tell you. When a man's life is like that, please hear me. Between now and next Friday, you should be able, am I going to be a man of God? Am I going to be a businessman? Am I a civil servant? Are we together? This issue of allowing life to choose for you will shred your life into pieces. Are we together? The last prayer point. Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you... I'm tired of making stupid choices outside your will. What do you want? I'm not so rebellious. What do you want for my life? Lift your voice and pray. Don't say I'm a businessman. What does he want for your life? Don't say I must stay in Lagos. I've already promised myself. I must be based in London. I must be based in France. What is his will for your life? I will never be a pastor's wife. God forbid. No, no, don't pray like that. Lord, what is your will? I will go. I will go. Anywhere you lead me, I will go. Listen, inside and outside there are men. You cannot have faith in a God you do not have a relationship with. You can receive from a herbalist you don't have a relationship with. You can relate with the devil and not even need to know him. But when you come to God, you must have a relationship with him. There are people here under the sound of my voice and thousands following online who are saying, man of God, I need Jesus in my life. This may be the first decision you are making. You've been going to church. You've been hearing preachers. You may even be a worker in the house of God. But you are saying, as you are speaking now, I really am discovering that Jesus is a stranger to me. I do not know him. I cannot boast of saying I have a relationship with him. Or there are people here saying, man of God, truly I gave my life to Christ. But the truth is, I've lost touch with anything God for a very long time. And tonight I hear your voice, man of God. Invite me. I'm going to make an altar call. Our time is gone. Just 2 minutes for this. These two categories of people, some of you may be seated outside. As you are looking at the screen, the Holy Spirit is telling you, it's time for me to use you. I can lift you. It's time for us to rise. Where you are is not your best. Don't stay where your father stayed. Don't stay where your mother stayed. But the first step is to make this declaration. Please, wherever you are, don't wait until someone starts moving. I want you to make your way and rush out here right now. And say, man of God, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not embarrassed. I am coming before him. God bless you. God is touching people already. God is touching people already. God bless you. No matter where you are, keep coming. This is not all. Young, old, there are people outside. What are you waiting for? Win that war tonight. Respond to him and say, Lord, I come to you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Spirit is still telling me there are a few people, at least four people. I know our time is gone, but the Holy Spirit is telling me there are still at least four people. Outside, inside, there are still people. If the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and saying you are the man of God is talking to, don't be afraid. Make your way to the front. You know you need Jesus. You know you need Jesus.
Please do not be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed by who is standing or who brought you. Make that quality decision. I'm about to begin to pray with them right now. Make sure you join us. Don't come afterwards. Stand before Him and say, Lord, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed to declare that You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Hallelujah. Lift your right hand, brothers and sisters. You have come sincerely to God. Some of you for the first time, some of you are saying, I'm tired of living my life. I act as if things are all right, but I know things are not all right. Don't be ashamed before Him. It's like an award is being given to you. You have heard the word of the Lord. It's time to win that war. You are not growing younger. Don't let your children look at you one day and say, Daddy, Mommy, why are we like this? You had an opportunity to serve God. What is the difference between you and Uncle So-so-so? They are serving God. He said, teach us to number our days. You don't waste your time. You are growing older every day. You must invest your time serving the purposes of the kingdom. Say after me, Lord Jesus. You are not reciting a poem. Say it clearly, Lord Jesus. I love You. I truly believe in You. This night, I came here to hand over my life completely to You. I declare that from today, take over my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I receive Your life. I receive Your word into my spirit. And I declare, from today, I am a new creation. All things are past and the new has come. The grace to walk in righteousness, to walk in liberty, I receive in the name of Jesus. From today, my life becomes victorious. In Jesus' name, I stretch my hands to You and I pray. I break the power of sin. I declare that Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. And by the power that is vested in the name of the Christ, I release you from every guilt, every shame, every condemnation. I pray from today that you will begin to rise higher and higher in the name of Jesus. The power of the flesh, the power of sin is broken over your life. The grace of God is at work in you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and big congratulations for this decision. Now, I'd like you to follow. There's someone waving. There's a gentleman waving his hands. Please follow him. They're going to give you more information. And I want to, hold on please. I want to encourage all of you, sorry, just a minute. The Bible says, they that be planted in the house of God, not they that visit the house of God. It's important that you are planted in the house of God. And I would recommend for you, at least for the next 1 month, please be part of the prayer department, Tuesdays 4 o'clock at Rema, so that you can build your faith and build your spirit. God bless you and I love you. Thank you. Let's appreciate them.
Have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternityNetworkInternational or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/KoinoniaEni. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.